It's been a blessing to you. Again, I do want to say thank you. I know that words are not enough, and I know that most of you, if not all of you, don't do anything for the thanks, for the pat on the back. I know that's not your motivation, and yet many times I feel like some thanks need to be given for all the hard work and all the prayers and support and just being behind us all these years, especially in the very beginning when we kept coming back and saying, you don't know what's going on, you know. We're trying, but it just seems like nothing's happening. And so I just wanted to show you some pictures for maybe those of you who haven't been coming here very long, to just show you what the Lord has done over the years. And that's not all of it. That's just a few of the pictures and the places that Debbie and I have been over the last 28 years. And God has been good. I am so thankful for Debbie, for the good wife she's been to me and being faithfully by my side through all the years and all the learning experiences. And I am just thankful for a godly and a faithful wife. You know, this conference has always been a special time. You know, I think I was about 15 years old when I attended my first mission conference at this church, something like that. I think it was 1980, 81 maybe. And I tell you what, it was a special thing for me. At that age, I was kind of floundering, and I had been saved since I was 9 years old. But, you know, I just, as a young man, I was kind of, you know, here, you know. I didn't know what life was all about yet. I was trying to figure out what life was about. And it was a turning point in my life. And then a couple years later is when God got a hold of my heart and called me to preach the gospel. And it's the second best decision I ever made in my life, is to give my life to Him to preach the gospel. John chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 33. John 5:33. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your gift of salvation. And for the opportunity to serve you, bless your word tonight, speak to our hearts, and give me the right words to glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this mission conference has a simple purpose, and that's just to remind us of what our mission is, and to also open some people's hearts and eyes who have not really seen the vision yet, and maybe even somebody would say, you know, I need to be preaching the gospel. I need to do more. I need to do what God wants me to do. And that's the whole, that's what God did to me when I was 17 years old. He opened my eyes and I realized I need to be doing something for eternity. Amen. And so we're praying and hoping that God will continue to call. Amen. He will continue to call people to preach the gospel. That it won't just die with this generation, that the next generation will say, you know, let's keep it going. This gospel is worth preaching. It's worth investing our lives and getting the gospel out. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Sent from God. God called John to come and be a light. He sent John. You understand that God uses men. He didn't send angels.
Yeah,
He didn't write the gospel in the sky, in the clouds. I know there's a lot of things in creation that are amazingly beautiful and intricate and give us all kinds of information about God. But you won't find the gospel in the trees.
Yeah, that's right.
And the rocks are not going to cry out. No matter what people may tell you, that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say the rocks are going to preach the gospel if you don't. The rocks will cry out and glorify God. And man, I think rocks probably do glorify God in some way. But you know, the rocks are not going to preach the gospel. God sent John to prepare the way for Jesus. And it says here, Jesus said, verse 35, he was a burning and a shining light. I had completely forgotten that we'd already chosen the song to sing tonight that was titled Send the Light. It was not my intention, but it worked out. John was a burning and a shining light. Now, God sent this man, so it tells me that, you know, we can probably learn a few things from John. I've been reading the book of John lately and noticing some things that I could learn from John. And you know, it says here, first of all, he was a burning light. Yeah. Now think about a burning light. There's a lot of ways that I think you can probably understand the idea of burning. But the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, when things burn, they consume. You know, one day, your life is going to burn up. You are going to be totally consumed. Now, you may think that you're young and strong and healthy, and you may eat all the right things, and you may exercise, just like I do. I eat all the right things. No junk food, no sweets, no ice cream, no, all the right things. And you may think, man, I'm just strong and healthy, but one day, your body is going to fall apart. Your life is just a vapor.
Yeah, that's right.
And we need to be reminded of this, that life is so short. Now the question is, what is your life all about?
Yeah.
Is life all about just living? Is it about eating? Is it about playing? Is it about working? Is it about earning money? Is it about just you? What is life all about? And when I was 17 years old, I realized, you know, I got my whole life ahead of me, but nothing that I was seeing, nothing that I was dreaming about really gave me any real reason for existence except eternity. I realized, hey, eternity is a long time.
Yeah,
compared to this life, wow! I realized that my life was going to burn up one day. John was a burning light. He didn't burn forever. One day, he gave up the ghost. They chopped his head off. But you know what? He was a burning light.
Amen.
You better think about your life. It's a vapor. It's here, then it's gone. And most of the time, it's gone faster than you ever planned.
Right.
Most people, I think, even in today's day, die before they planned. We make all these plans, which is great. Make all the plans you can. And you better plan like you're going to live a long time. But you better live like it could be your last day. You're going to die.
Yeah, that's right.
And then what? Your life is but a vapor. But you know, the second thing that struck me about this, the idea of a burning light, was the idea of burning in your heart, a burning inside of you. You know, remember the time when Jesus has risen from the dead in Luke chapter 24? And he's talking to these two men walking to Emmaus. And we read in verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us?
Yeah.
While he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures. Does your heart burn within you when you read God's word? When you contemplate the gospel, does your heart burn within you? What kind of a light are you? You know, God sent John to be a burning light. And I don't think John was a mediocre preacher. I don't think John got out there and said, you know, I think maybe, you know, it could be. I think he was a burning light. I think John had some passion. I think John was a man who preached, and he preached with a passion. I think he had a burning in him. I think he had a fire in his belly. Are you convinced in your heart? Does the gospel ever got a hold of your heart? Not just the idea about, you know, living forever. Not just the idea of, you know, having happiness. Like many times we hear the gospel preached today, and it's like, you know, God's got a wonderful plan for your life. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have a good job. He wants you to have a happy home. And, you know, all those things have some problems in the way they're presented, because it's not always that way. But the gospel, the idea of a sinner being reconciled to an holy God, man, that if you let that get a hold of you, you'll be a burning light. Instead of trying to appeal to man and trying to make man out to be some kind of a victim that, you know, the whole world is against, and if he'll just, you know, ask God, God will feel sorry for him and just take him to heaven. That's not really the gospel. You know, as I read in Psalm chapter 41, Psalm 41, I came across a verse that you may not agree with me, but I can't help but think that there's an application here of our Lord Himself. Psalm 41, verse 5. David says, "Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish?" You know, I've been preaching the gospel a long time, and I have found so many people that have this same, that come across this same way to me about God. You know, people hate God. They don't like God. They don't like the idea of a judge. They don't like the idea of someone who hates sin. They don't like the idea of someone who doesn't tolerate sin. This young man, Michael, that you saw up in the picture a while ago, he goes to university, and some of his classes are taught by Catholic priests. And a priest one day in class said, "You know, God tolerates sin. God doesn't tolerate sin. God despises sin. He hates sin." And people all the time in their hearts are thinking, I am sure, when shall he die? All these atheists, oh, let me tell you, they would love for his name to perish. They are dying for his name to finally perish. And they're trying so hard to just obliterate all influences of the gospel and of the Bible. And they don't need God because they hate God. And yet the gospel is that this same God whom they want to die already died for them. He died for them to redeem them and to reconcile them unto himself. Now, if that doesn't get a hold of you, something's wrong with you. The idea that the Almighty God, who created all things, who sees all things, who knows all things, who only does what is right, who only loves that which is just and holy and good, and yet He Himself wants the vilest of sinners to be reconciled to Him. And He died for them in order for that to happen? He sent His only Son that He might die for these wicked sinners and bring them unto Himself. You know, if you get that in your heart, it will burn in you, and you will be a burning light.
Amen.
He was a burning light. Does the gospel burn in your heart? You know, Paul said, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe, and therefore we speak. Maybe you don't speak the gospel because you really have a hard time believing it in your heart, and it doesn't burn in you, and then you wonder, well, it's okay, but, you know, what's the big deal? Let me tell you, it is the biggest deal of all history. That a sinner can be made right with God because God Himself already paid the debt.
Amen.
What greater story is there? And nobody made that one up.
That's right.
Jeremiah, in chapter 20, What did he say? Jeremiah chapter 20. What kind of a light are you? What kind of a light does God expect us to be? Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I don't know how often that has happened to us. Maybe not as often as it did to Jeremiah, I don't know. But you know, there have been times in my life when I thought, I'm so tired of these people. I'm just fed up. And it's a waste of time, or I don't want to do it today. I'm tired, or I'm sick, or I don't have a voice. But you know, sometimes you get a burning in your heart and you say, you know, I just can't not tell these people Amen. What God's Word says. Amen. That's the kind of light God is calling into this world. God has not called people who aren't burning. Yeah. If you don't have the burning in your heart, stay home. He was a burning light. He was convinced in his heart. Does the wickedness of this world burn in your heart? Does the wickedness of this world get you really riled up sometimes? I don't mean in the sense that you want to go out and, you know, exact vengeance on somebody or play some vigilante, but I mean the idea that this world is so wicked and so much against God and that which is holy. Do you ever get a burning in your heart? Oh, where is the righteousness? What is wrong with this world? John was a burning light. Are you? Yeah. Are you just too complacent? You grow complacent by being just, you get used to things. Yeah. Things don't shock you anymore. Things don't get you riled up anymore. You know, that's the problem with the world. You stay too long in the world. You have too much contact with the world and not enough contact with God's people. You will grow complacent. It'll become just almost normal to you. It'll stop shocking you. I don't know how Lot kept his senses about him. I'm not sure to what extent he was complacent, but it does say he vexed his righteous soul every day by their wicked deeds. Does your righteous soul get vexed day by day by the wicked deeds of this world? Are you burning in your heart because of the wickedness of this world? But the third thing that I think that we can see in John, and he was a burning light. I think when he preached, he burned. I think that when he preached, people got convicted. Amen. Well, we live in a society where we don't want to hurt people's feelings, and we don't want the preaching to cause any kind of discomfort. We don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. And that's why the gospel has become so watered down, so wishy-washy, so positive, so, you know, ego building and just all these positive things. Because we don't want anybody to be convicted or feel badly or feel any kind of sorrow for their sin because they might not come back or they might not give any money or whatever else the reason. You know, when Stephen preached, look in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. In verse 54, when they heard these things, this is after Stephen has been preaching a blistering sermon to these Jews. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. I think they were convicted. I don't think they were too positively reinforced here. I think that he really got to these guys. I think he hit them right where they needed it.
Yeah. That's right.
Where are these lights today?
Yeah.
Where are the lights today that are willing to stand up and say, this is right and this is wrong?
Yeah. Amen.
God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Where are the lights that are burning when they preach the gospel? They don't just say, you know, God loves you and God wants you to be happy and God wants to take you to heaven. Where are the ones who say, you know, God hates sin.
Amen.
And God condemns sin and God punishes sin? Where are those voices? Now, most of us in this church, I think, understand this concept. And so we probably should take it one step further. Look in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. If you have a hard time understanding the idea of conviction, just go downtown with Randy preaching on a Sunday and you'll find out what kind of sermons maybe should be preached more often in this world. But look in Luke chapter 3 and verse 7. This is the same John the Baptist preaching. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Now, maybe most of us are pretty good at preaching the blistering sermons that God hates sin, that God hates homosexuality, and that God hates fornication, and that God hates all these sins that we understand clearly. But you know, John didn't just preach blistering sermons. John preached. He was a burning light. And when he preached, people got convicted, and they even said, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, God didn't send John just to tell people that they're wicked. He sent people, he sent John to tell people about the light.
Amen.
That they might be saved. And you know what? John didn't just get people mad at him. Now, Stephen, man, he preached a blistering sermon and lost his head. But you know, when John preached, people said, what shall we do? We need some lights who can preach the gospel, who can preach righteousness, and at the same time, get people to say, okay, then what do we need to do?
Amen.
It's not just a matter of preaching against sin. It's a matter of bringing people to understand how wicked their sin is, and that there is a God who will forgive these sins. Now, I realize that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. But that should be our goal. We can't lose sight of the goal that we have, and that is to preach the gospel, which includes preaching repentance, but it also includes preaching faith in Jesus Christ. That they might say, what shall we do? Now, people often ask, probably most of us here that have gone to the mission field have been asked on many occasions, how do you know if God has called you to be a preacher or a missionary? And it's always, you know, a difficult question to answer, you know, 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, whatever. But you know, if you preach the gospel for years to ever, and nobody ever to ask you the second question, what should I do? You know, I'm not so sure God has called you to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
I was at a mission conference about 2 or 3 years ago. I'll never forget this, and it was pretty embarrassing just for me, and I wasn't even the one that said it, but there was a guy that stood up, and he was a missionary out of this church I was visiting, and I think his work was a Bible school somewhere in, I think it was in San Luis Potosí, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, he got up there in front of the church to present his mission, his work, or whatever, and he said, and I quote, "I don't think I have ever won a soul to Christ." Thinking, well, I'm glad you're honest, but it makes me wonder why would God call someone to the mission field who never had won anybody? Yeah. And not even embarrassed to announce it in public. I mean, come on. Hang your head in shame.
Yeah.
John was a burning light. When he preached, people said, "What should I do? What do I need to do?" And we need to make this part of our preaching, and that is to do the very best we can, whatever a gift God has given us, to make sure we include the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
What shall we do? What do we need to do? Paul was in prison. Him and Silas were in prison, and I, to this day, I'm not sure what hymns they were singing in that prison cell. Man, they must have been singing some really good hymns.
Amen.
Because when that earthquake hit, and nobody escaped, and this jailer almost committed suicide, and Paul saved him, he came in trembling and said, "What must I do to be saved?" I wonder, what in the world were they? They must have been singing the gospel really clearly in those songs they were singing.
Yeah.
Either that or Paul actually stood up and preached the gospel to them prisoners or something, because this jailer was already convicted.
Yeah.
And Paul didn't have to, you know, give him the whole gospel. He didn't have to say, you know, "God hates your sin." He didn't say, "I know you're going to go to hell." I think he understood that. I think he was clear on that issue. He said, "What must I do to be saved?"
Amen.
Something about the preaching that I find in the Bible is that, you know, it included what you have to do and what God will do if you'll just repent.
Yeah, that's right.
So John was a burning light. Yeah, he burned. And people got convicted. And the fourth thing that I thought about in this idea of burning light is probably the one that many of us are pretty good at, and that is just being caustic. You know, all the time, just caustic in our preaching. Just burning. Just, you know, just, and we brag about, "Oh man, I really gave it to him hard this time. I was full of the Spirit and I was just burning all the queers and I was burning all them and all the drunkards and all." And I understand the place for preaching against sin, don't get me wrong, but that's not all that it entails. If all you're doing is making a lot of noise and it's making people angry day in and day out, you might ought to wonder, you ought to ask yourself, why nobody is saying, "What shall I do then?"
Yeah.
Maybe something about you is just rubbing people the wrong way. And believe me, I preach, like I mentioned before, we preach quite often against homosexuality. We really do. It's amazing how it makes people just, it makes them choose. It's a very polarizing topic to preach about. So yeah, I think we ought to preach against sin. But I don't think we have to be caustic.
That's right.
It does, I think, in the book of Judas says, you know, of some having compassion, making a difference.
Yeah. Amen.
And we need to have a little bit of wisdom and know how to preach hard against sin at the same time to preach there is an answer. There is a solution for sin. Not everybody out there is a hardened, unrepentant a sinner who just wants to kill you for preaching against sin. There are actually people out there that are maybe afraid to speak out against sin, but you know, they may hear you and say, "You know, I think that's right."
Yeah.
But if you don't give them any kind of solution, then all you are is a self-righteous hypocrite. That's how they might see you. I bought some charcoal one time. We went on a picnic with Josh and his family, and I bought some charcoal. Man, this stuff was strange stuff. I couldn't get it lit hardly. But man, once it got lit, it just sparked, and it just made all kinds of noise and popped and everything else. But It wouldn't burn anything. It wouldn't cook anything. It was just like red coal sparking and popping, but no heat. Now, I guess it was some kind of strange wood. I'm not an expert on wood or charcoal, but there must be some wood out there that just doesn't really burn hot. You know, I know some wood burns really well in a fireplace, and you guys who have fireplaces know all about that stuff, and I don't know about it, but I think I understood by that some woods just don't really burn very hot. They make lots of noise. They pop real loud, and man, it was sparks going everywhere, and it was burning my skin, but it wouldn't cook the Polish sausage that I had on the grill. And that's how some of us are when we preach. We make lots of noise. Hey, man, we're sparking and we're popping and we're making all kinds of racket.
Yeah.
And what's the effect? No light, no heat, just a lot of noise. So, what kind of a light are you? Are you convinced that the gospel is true? Has it got a hold of your heart? Do you preach to bring conviction? Do you understand how short your life really is? Or are you just complacent? Or maybe just caustic? But you know, it also says back in our text in John 5, He wasn't just a shining, he wasn't just a burning light. He was a shining light.
Yeah.
Shining.
Yeah.
Not a flickering light. Some of you are flickering lights. You have your moments of greatness. Here and there. Once in a while. Poof. Man, it was good. But then after that, you're just back to the same old. Maybe once a year. After the revival. Or after the mission conference. You have your flickers once every 12 months or every 6 months. Hey, that's, you know, I guess better than nothing. But you know, John wasn't a flickering light. God sent a man named John who was a shining light. And I'm glad for every single light and every spark and every candle and every match and every single bit of light that gets shown. But you know what? God does send men. God does call men. He wants men to be shining lights. Every day. At work. At home, at play, wherever you are, a shining light. Not a flickering light. Some of us flicker off and on, depending on our marriage. Man, if things are going good at home with our marriage, man, we're just shining and we're preaching hard. But you get a little bit of problems at home and all of a sudden, we can't even get a spark. Or problems at work, or a little bit of persecution, or you don't get the thanks you want, or nobody brags on your sermon. You get up and you preach, and nobody tells you, hey, that was a great sermon. And all of a sudden, oh, man. Okay, good. Just go away. God doesn't want those kind of lights.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the ones that flicker on and off because somebody, you know, praised them a little bit. He wants some shining lights like John, who no matter what people said about him, no matter what people tried to do to him, he was a shining light.
Yes.
Now maybe you don't think you're a real bright light. But you know, if you're a candle, at least be one of those. You ever seen those candles that you can't blow out? Those are cool.
Amen.
No matter who tries to blow it out, man, they're trying their hardest to blow it out. Just keep on popping back up. Man, they criticize you and laugh at you and call you all kinds of names and call you the worst name in the book. Who cares? Just keep on lighting back up. Don't let the world blow you out. Don't let troubles blow you out. You preach a lousy sermon, go home, open your Bible, pray some, seek God's face. Think about your own heart, what your motive was, what you were trying to accomplish, and you'll probably find the problem.
Yeah. Amen.
But don't go home and say, oh, well.
Yeah.
And just lighten back up and go back out. If you're not preaching, you're just trying to talk to people, keep on talking to people. If you're just knocking on doors. You know, we talk a lot about preaching, and I don't want to minimize the idea of preaching, but you know, probably in this town, you can get a lot more people to talk to, trying to knock on doors or talking to people at work, and don't let people get you down.
Yeah.
You get 10 doors slamming your face, just go to the number 11.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
I was reading in the Gospel, I think it's the Gospel of Luke, the other day when Jesus is going across the lake with the disciples. Remember that story? And this storm comes up. And man, it was a storm of all storms. And these disciples, they were so afraid. They said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? Now, you may think these guys are just a bunch of wimps. But I'm not sure. I was at the coast one time with Josh. And we went out in one of them big boats to go fishing out, you know, further out. Man, I got so sick, I thought I was going to die. So I'm a wimp when it comes to that kind of stuff. And it wasn't even a storm. It was just normal everyday stuff, and I got sick. But these guys, they were seasoned fishermen. They weren't just your everyday, you know, greenhorn city slickers. These guys knew the life of being on a boat, and yet they were scared to death.
Yeah.
Something tells me that was a pretty bad storm.
Yeah. Yes.
Something tells me that they had every reason to think, man, we're not going to make it through this one. We have never seen one like this before. And yet, Jesus gets up and he calms the storm. And you have to ask yourself, well, was it all just because he wanted to calm the storm? Was that the whole point? Is this to show them that he could calm the waves? I don't think so, because when they got to where they were going, they met him a man out of the country of the Gadarenes who was possessed with a devil, and Jesus cast that devil out. How many times do we give up in the middle of a storm and turn back? You go out to witness to people, go out door knocking, or go out in the streets preaching, or whatever you may do, may talking to your family members, talking to co-workers, and man, you think it's going to go so well. You have it all figured out. You have all the right verses. You have it all planned like it's supposed to happen, and it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
And they don't receive you well.
Yeah.
And they think you're an idiot. And you say, oh, never mind. Or maybe you go out and you don't even get that far. You have a flat tire. Oh, I have a flat tire. I can't go preaching today. How easily do we get discouraged from doing what God wants us to do? But if you go into a Spurs game and you have a flat tire, let me guess what you're going to do. I bet you'll find a way to get there. I bet you'll find a way to accomplish your mission if it's something for the flesh.
Yeah, right.
Are you a flickering light? You just kind of have your good days and bad days. Once in a while you have your days, man, wow. But most of the time you're just kind of humdrum. John was not a flickering light. He was a shining light. And if you want to know if God has called you to preach, let me ask you a question. Are you a shining light? Or do you flicker only when people are looking at you? Or do you shine only when someone's praising you? Or do you shine only when you see someone actually listening to you? But any other time, you just kind of, whatever. We need to be shining lights. Which reminds me about you young men who are contemplating whether God wants you to preach or not, and you're also contemplating on getting a wife. You know, I don't understand all the problems or the life of King Ahab, because he was a pretty bad guy, but I think that a lot of his problem was his wife. It says not only was he a wicked king, but man, on top of all that, he took a wife, Jezebel. You know, you can really mess up your life, mess up your desire to serve God and your ministry if you choose the wrong wife.
Yeah.
I've known some men who are flickering lights just because of their wife. Man, they have good days, but man, most of the time it's down because their wife says, no, don't do this, or no, don't do that. Or, be careful what kind of a wife you choose. And some of you young ladies, you know, we talk about men preaching a lot in this conference and about God calling men, but you know, God calls women too.
Amen.
You know, God calls women who say, you know, I want to marry a man who wants to serve God. Now, I don't think that it's something that we should treat lightly. I think some of you young ladies ought to think about what God wants for your life. You know, maybe He does want you to be a missionary wife. Maybe we're so comfortable in our own lives and our own comfortable lifestyle that we forget that, you know, there are men that want to preach the gospel and need a wife.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
But you better be careful who you marry. Because by the same token, a man can really mess up your desire and your plans to serve God. John was a shining light. But you know, not only was he a shining light, he didn't shine unto himself. I get so tired of my old rotten flesh, the desire for vain glory, this feeling in your own rotten, filthy flesh that is concerned about, you know, self. And how you're viewed by people and what people think about you and what people think about your sermon and what they might say about you. Hey, John, I don't think was too concerned about what they thought about him. He didn't shine unto himself. What did he say when they asked him? Look back at John chapter 1, just to remind you. John chapter 1. Verse 20, well actually verse 19, the last part, they asked him, who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Who art thou? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And back in verse 8, or verse 7, in the same chapter it says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He was a burning and a shining light, and yet he was not that light. He wasn't shining unto himself. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He did not start the Baptist denomination.
Yeah.
It wasn't my church. It wasn't the Baptist church. He was sent to bear witness of Jesus Christ. And that was his mission.
That's right.
He didn't shine to himself.
Amen.
So some of you young men, I know it's hard to avoid. We're not sent to shine unto ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not sent to brag on ourselves. We're not sent to make sure everybody knows that it was our sermon that did the job. We're not sent to talk about what we've done, what we've accomplished. We're sent to bear witness of that light.
Amen.
He was a shining light. He didn't shine to himself, though. In the book of Jeremiah, God says, I think he says to Barak, seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Are you seeking great things for yourself? Let me tell you, if you are, that's not the light God is looking for. If you're interested in your own self and lifting up your name, and you're interested in some kind of recognition and being famous and being popular or whatever else it may be, that is not what God is looking for. Now you can go out there and you'll find someone who will think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they will just lift you up on high because there are a lot of people that want that. But that's not what John was.
Yeah, that's right.
He was a burning and a shining light, and he was sent to bear witness of Jesus Christ. That was his mission. Who was it that John spoke about in 3 John? He said, about Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. That wasn't John. That was Diotrephes. He loved to have the preeminence. Man, look at me. It's me. I preached that sermon. Man, wasn't that something else? That was Diotrephes. That wasn't John. God sent John. He didn't send Diotrephes. You know, he was a shining light. Tells me that his light wasn't hidden. Lights weren't meant to be hidden. Light supposed to expose the darkness and illuminate the darkness. Light has a purpose, and the purpose is not to be hidden. We are the light of the world. Are you a light? Are you hiding your light? Are you embarrassed to shine your light? Are you afraid to shine your light? If you are, I don't think God is calling you. God calls men to shine their light, not to hide their light. We're supposed to be a reflection of Christ. Are you reflecting Christ? Are you reflecting His light? Are you bearing witness of His light, of His love, of His mercy, of His long-suffering, of His righteousness, of His holiness? Or are you just out there, you know, afraid to even pray in public? John was a burning and a shining light. What kind of a light are you? You know, back in our text, John chapter 5, one more thing that he says in that verse 35, he says, "And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." You know, John shined all the way to the end. He wasn't a flash in the pan. Are you a flash in the pan? Man, there was a time when you got really emotional and you said, "I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to win my family. I'm going to witness to my friends at school. I'm going to go out into my street and witness to all my neighbors." And you witness to one or to two, and they slam the door in your face, and you said, "That's it." You preached one time, and someone laughed at you, and you said, "That's it." You preached for a season. You were a flash in the pan. You're like them tumbleweeds. Man, you light a tumbleweed, and it can have a really hot, hot, hot fire. And then in a few seconds, it's all over. And that's all she wrote. That wasn't John. He shined all the way to the end. He shined up until the day that they chopped off his head. So, are you going to shine just for a day or two? As long as things are good, then you're going to quit? But then he says, "Ye were willing for a season." He's talking to these Jews, to these Pharisees. He's talking to these people who believed John for a little bit. They rejoiced in the light. Man, they were happy for the light. They liked that light. As long as it was shining on somebody else's sin. Yeah. Is that where you are today? You think Jesus is great until he talks about your sin? You think the Bible is so wonderful, but you avoid all those things that talk about your sin. You think that church is wonderful, but only when they talk about all the other bad things everybody else does. You're willing to rejoice in the light for a season. There are a lot of people in the world today who think that Jesus and the Bible are just wonderful things, but only bits and parts. Right. For a season, they like it. I met a lady on the street the other day, and I gave her a tract, and she said, "Oh, man, I have a neighbor that needs this." And I thought, if you only knew. I don't know where you stand with God. Maybe you think church is great. Maybe you think it's a neat place because we sing real loud and we just have a good time and we have good food and good fellowship and but you never really settled your problem that you have with God. You kind of just put all your sins aside, and yeah, you don't think that we should be living in adultery, and you don't think we ought to be condoning homosexuality, and you're against all these politicians and all the murderers and all the dope addicts, but you have your little sins that you don't want anybody to talk about. You're willing to rejoice in all the light that God shines on your neighbor's sin and on the politician's sins and everybody else. But you don't want God to talk about your sin. You don't want anybody to preach about your sin. Your sin of lust or your selfishness or your pride or whatever else you may be dabbling in. Are you willing to rejoice in the light, as long as it's about somebody else, and you never really confessed your sin to God and asked God have mercy on you? John was sent to be a light. He burned and he shined, and he talked about everything. He hit everybody. Jesus did too. Remember when he's talking to the Pharisees and he says, "You do this and you do that and you do this," and the lawyers, the guys that knew the law, said, Hey, when you say that, you're offending us too. He says, Yeah, and this and that and this and that. And he hit them too. Yeah. Right. Are you that kind of a person? As long as everybody's preaching against all the wicked, wicked, wicked things that you would never think about, it's okay, but your pride and your lust and your selfishness and your greed and your covetousness, oh, that's off limits. Let me tell you something. There is no salvation until you deal with your own sin with God. Salvation is not by just joining a church or by loving God and praying and reading the Bible. Salvation is repenting of every sin, of all sin that God hates, and asking God to forgive you by putting your faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is salvation. Amen. Not joining a church, not being more religious, not being so just, you know, willing to come to church and be all together. Salvation is repenting of your sin that God hates and believing that Jesus Christ died for you. That is salvation. And that's why John came. He was a burning light. And he shined. And he shined. He was a witness of the light, which is Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners. And that's the gospel. Amen.
Amen. Turn to number 94.